Good morning. It's a joy to welcome you to our services on this Lord's Day morning. We're so thankful that you're here. And we are here, by the way. It was kind of doubtful Wednesday night whether we might be here today. I know as I was doing some yard work yesterday afternoon, I kind of wondered why I was doing that, if the Lord was going to come back, as many had said he was. But I'm glad I finished the yard work. The yard looks okay, and people can still see it because the Lord didn't come back as many thought he would. But we are here today. We're blessed to be here. We are thankful that those of you who are visiting with us especially have chosen to be with us this morning, and we hope that you'll come back and be with us anytime you have an opportunity. It's certainly a joy to have little Christopher Ryan here with us for the very first time, and certainly Jessica and David and Joella, the proud grandparents, are here as well, and we certainly are thankful to see them. As you can tell, Buddy Renahan is in top-notch VBS form. The beard is really shaping up. I'm trying to decide if he's Shadrach, Meshach, or Abednego. Not quite sure yet, but the Renahans, the Sippers, and the Brawleys do a great job with our Vacation Bible School, and they put a lot of work in leading this particular effort, and I know it's going to be a great week, and I hope we'll get excited about our Vacation Bible School. I'm very, very excited about the topic that we're going to look at today. This morning, I want us to talk about the providence of our great God. Now, providence means the act of providing, exercising foresight, making provision. And when we speak of divine providence, then, we mean that God is our Creator, He is our Savior, He is our Father who provides for our needs. He directs, He leads, He controls our lives, and He is guiding us to our ultimate destiny. I believe this idea of the providence of God is one of the most important themes in the entire Bible. If we believe that there is an infinite and omnipotent God who's merciful and gracious and loving and kind and benevolent in nature, then we must accept the doctrine of divine providence. Now, some people today deny providence because of its deep mystery. And I think we all ought to freely admit our inability to understand providence. Finite minds cannot comprehend the mind of an infinite God. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are deeper than our thoughts. Nevertheless, we do not deny the doctrine of providence because we cannot understand it or explain it fully or completely. But I want to suggest to you this morning that providence is, in fact, a Bible doctrine. The Bible teaches and emphasizes this doctrine over and over again. And I think that's especially true when we turn over to the book of Psalms. For example, David said in Psalms chapter 3, beginning in verse 3, "But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept, and I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid, for many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around." You see, David had a strong belief in the overruling providence of God in his life. David would say in Psalms chapter 4 and verse 8, "In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety." David would say in the words of Psalms chapter 5, beginning in verse 11. But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy and spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may exalt in you, for you bless the righteous. O Lord, you cover him with favor as with a shield. I think David's belief in the providence of God is further demonstrated by his statement in Psalms chapter 17, beginning in verse 7. He said, "Wondrously show your steadfast love, O Savior, of those who seek refuge from their adversaries at your right hand. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings." In that beloved shepherd psalm, I think we see God's providence described in the most beautiful language that we find in Scripture. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You see, David saw the Lord as a loving shepherd who gently led and guided and protected. And with that belief, he had no fear wherever he went, because David realized that the Lord was by his side all the time. Shouldn't we feel that way today? Shouldn't we live our lives each day confidence in the fact that the Lord is beside us all the time? The Bible says in Psalms chapter 27 and verse 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" In Psalms chapter 28 and verse 7, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song I will praise him." I would invite you to turn with me to Psalms chapter 34. And there we can observe in that great chapter many, many things that emphasize that the Lord is in fact the one who delivers his children. For example, in verse 4, "I sought the Lord. He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears." Verse 7 says, "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them." Or if you look at verse 17, "When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and he delivers them out of all their troubles." In verse 19, the Bible says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." The Lord and his providence watches over us. And the psalmist took his burdens to the Lord in prayer, and God delivered him from fear and danger and trouble and afflictions. We have the assurance today that he'll do the same for us. That's why in Psalms chapter 46, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives away and the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea." Isn't it wonderful today that we as the followers of God have the assurance that He is the one to whom we can continually flee for refuge. He is the one on whom we can rely for strength. He is a very present help in times of trouble. Now, these passages that we've looked at so far have absolutely no meaning whatsoever if the providence of God is not true. Isaiah expressed his faith in divine providence in these beautiful words over in Isaiah chapter 40, beginning in verse 28. Isaiah said, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall fall exhausted. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." God assures us of His overruling providence in these words. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you by my righteous right hand." Now, there's so many Old Testament passages that emphasize and talk about the great providence of God. But I think these will suffice from the Old Testament. But the New Testament also has a lot to say about the providence of God. You know, Jesus Christ, our Lord, was a great believer in the providence of God. Jesus would say in Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 29, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father, but even the very hairs on your head are all numbered." And of course, with some of us, He didn't have to count too highly, does He? "But even the hairs on your head are numbered. Fear not, for you are of more value than many sparrows." You know, just like God looks after the birds of the heavens so that not even a sparrow falls to the ground without His watchful eye taking note of its downward spiral. In the very same way, God's providence is looking after each one of us. William Cullen Bryant expressed it in these beautiful words. He wrote, "He who from zone to zone guides through boundless sky thy certain flight in the long way that I must tread alone will lead my steps aright." Jesus said, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them," Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20. He has promised to be in our midst, in our hearts, all the days of our lives. And almost the last words that Jesus said before leaving this earth were, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." And as we go about preaching the gospel, as we go about our everyday activities, trying to be that shining light on a lost and dying world, we have the assurance of the ever-present Christ because His providence watches over us. Paul said in one of his most beautiful passages, "We know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are called according to His purpose. Now, we may not be able to fathom the depths of this profound passage or fully explain its meaning, but if we will love and trust the Lord, we have the blessed assurance that all things in our lives will work out for our good. The pleasant, the unpleasant, the sad, the happy, the sorrowful, the joyful, the painful, the pleasurable, all of life's experiences somehow are going to work out for our good if we will but love the Lord. Paul further explained his philosophy of providence in the words of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. Paul said, "For this light momentary affliction." Now, sometimes when we think about what we're dealing with in life, maybe it's a physical illness. Maybe it's emotional and mental difficulties. Maybe it's a broken heart. These things to us don't really seem like they're light, do they? And so it's very interesting to me that Paul says here, "For this light, momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comprehension." You see, this great apostle believed that the afflictions of life, no matter how great, would somehow contribute to his eternal happiness. God says, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you," so that we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what any man can do unto me." Isn't it great to be able to go through our lives each day, no matter what, and have the attitude that I don't have to fear what anybody does to me, because God's providence is watching over me. Now, folks, we cannot accept the Bible as the inspired Word of God and then deny that God's providence rules, guides, and directs the affairs of men and of nations. But may I suggest this morning that we need to be aware of the fact that providence also works and has worked throughout history. God has exercised His providence over the affairs of nations. It was through the providence of God that Egypt was cursed with the plagues and the children of Israel were permitted to go free from Egyptian bondage. We know that God used various heathen nations to accomplish His purposes in history, usually to chastise His people, the Israelites. God sent the Assyrians against the northern kingdom. God sent the Babylonians against the southern kingdom, and both were taken into captivity. Through God's providence, He raised up Cyrus, king of Persia, who finally gave permission for the Israelite people to leave their captivity and return to their homeland. You see, Old Testament history is a continuous illustration of the fact that God rules in the affairs of people and that the destinies of nations are in His hands. God so ordered events in the life of Nebuchadnezzar that he came to know in Daniel chapter 4 and verse 25 that the Most High rules in the kingdoms of men and the heavens do rule. And through experiencing God's chastising providence, King Nebuchadnezzar finally confessed in Daniel 4 and verse 35, "None can stay His hand. None can say to Him, 'What have you done?'" And then we observe providence working in our own lives. God not only exercises providence over nations, but God's providence is working in the lives of individuals as well. You think about that dreadful suffering of Job. And in that suffering, we see the providence of God, for in this awful experience and ordeal that Job went through, he was humbled. Job learned to lean on God, and Job was actually a better man after his horrible experience than he was before. Suffering humbled and chastened and purified Job. It made him realize his need for God. I can't help but think about that young man Joseph. I can't imagine having to go through what Joseph went through. He was sold into slavery by his own brothers. Can you imagine being sold into slavery by your own flesh and blood? Now, nobody at that time could possibly see or understand how any good could possibly come from that. At the time his brothers were sold him into slavery, nobody could see or understand how any good could come from that. And yet God's providence was behind it all. And years later, when Joseph's brothers finally were made known to Joseph down in Egypt, the providential hand of God was made very clear. In fact, Joseph said to his brothers over in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20, he said, God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, to save your lives by a great deliverance. So you see, it wasn't you that sent me here, but it was God. Even though you meant evil toward me, God meant it for good, to bring about this present result and to preserve many people alive. You see, we don't fully understand providence today because we cannot know the future. We don't know what the next hour is going to hold. We don't know what next week or next year is going to be like. It's impossible for us to understand how some tragic event or experience can ultimately turn out for our good, since we can only see a particular event as it happens. We don't have the power to look ahead and see the ultimate effect on our lives or on the lives of others. You know, by His providence, we know that God made Esther queen, and it was through her intercession that the Jewish nation was spared in Babylonian captivity. In fact, Esther was told in chapter 4 and verse 14, who knows whether or not you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Through the providence of God, God brought Daniel and the three Hebrew children into favor with the Babylonian king, and the Jewish race was preserved, finally brought back from captivity. The Apostle Paul even saw the providential hand of God in his life. To me, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, are truly amazing verses that ought to cause us to be encouraged. Paul said, we do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. Now, that's some kind of predicament to be in, isn't it? Paul said, this situation is so bad, we don't see any way out of it. I think we're going to die. I don't know how we can even avoid physical death in this situation. But Paul says, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead, He delivered us from such deadly peril, and He will deliver us. I think that verse very much explains Paul's philosophy toward life itself and living every single day. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. In Paul's mind, it didn't matter whether he lived or whether he died. If he trusted in God, somehow, some way, everything was going to turn out for the best. The worst case scenario in Paul's life was that he was going to be able to spend eternity with God in heaven. And in this apparent hopeless experience, Paul saw no way out, and yet he trusted in God's providence to lead him safely through. And divine providence is true if we love and trust and serve God. He's going to care for us. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3 and verse 12, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and His ears are open to their prayers. But I want to close today by just touching on some of the great blessings of the providence of God that we need to think about today, that will help us every single day as we go about our daily walk. You know, one of the great blessings of providence is the fact that providence demonstrates the fact that God loves us. God is interested in us. He loves us. He cares. He stands ready to help and guide and direct and protect and defend. God is ready to answer our prayers. He will cause all events in our lives to work out for our good. And surely, God has our interest at heart. God is not some kind of impersonal deity, millions of miles removed in space from us. God is not far from any one of us, and He stands by our side, ready to help and to direct if we will permit Him to do so. God's providence demonstrates to each of us that God loves us. That's why we can sing that song with great confidence, Jesus loves me, this I know, because the Bible tells me so. We know that providence in our lives teaches us God's care and love toward you and me. May I suggest to you as well that providence also gives meaning to our lives. You know, we're not creatures of fate or chance. Our lives have purpose today. Our lives have meaning. Providence teaches us that God has a plan for our lives and that He's overruling events to work out that plan, to accomplish His purposes. And I think that's taught over and over again in the Bible. Your life has a purpose. Your life has a meaning. And I don't know what your future holds. I think about our young people and all the years, if the Lord allows the world to stand, that they have. I don't know what the future holds for you. I don't know what the future holds for me. But I do know that providence means that our lives have meaning. We're not the product of chance or fate. And we need to trust in the fact that God is going to lead us and use all the events that happen in our lives for our good and to accomplish His purposes. But you know, providence, I think, also strengthens us. Providence encourages us. It strengthens our faith. It deepens our trust in God. And when sorrow and suffering comes, and we know that it's going to happen because that's just a product of life. And when sorrow and suffering come, providence teaches us patience. It teaches us resignation because we know that all things work together for good. And because of God's providence, We need to trust in our Father. And then I want to suggest as we close, as we think about this awesome subject of providence, that providence always brightens our hope for the future. Because we know that whatever happens in life, for good or ill, God is going to somehow work it out for our good. Divine providence gives us the strength to endure the hardships and the trials of life, for we know that God is with us. If God be for us, who can be against us? If God is leading us, He will take us where we ought to go. If we are under His wings and His everlasting arms encircle us, we know that everything is going to be well. And so we need to understand that God's providence is over us and about us. And we need to be assured that no matter what happens in this life, or even in death, God is going to take care of us, and through His mercy and grace, He will receive us at last unto glory. Today, I hope you're a child of God. I hope today that you're a member of His family. If not, you can become one. You can obey the gospel this morning by believing in Jesus with all of your heart that He is the Son of God. And in that faith, you can change your life as you repent of your sins. Today, you can be baptized into Christ upon the confession of your faith in Him. And you can leave this building today fully trusting that God will lead you where you ought to go, and He will direct your steps. This morning, the invitation is yours if you're subject to it. We ask that you come now while we stand.